today on Richard Ellis Talks.
If you talk about heaven and act like there's no hell, then what does that even mean? We're all going to end up in heaven. No, we're not. Then where are the people that don't end up in heaven going to end up? They're going to end up in hell. You say, I don't believe that. You will. But then you're on fire forever, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is unlike anyone else, where he shares the life-changing message of the gospel in a way that's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. We know that life is pretty challenging these days, but these talks will help you meet those challenges head-on with biblical truth, encouragement, and direction. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellis.com. So, let's jump right in with today's talk. Here is Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is On Fire. On Fire. So what does it mean to be on fire? Part of the definition is a state of mind in which people believe that they are unstoppable and can do anything they want, and they do. They're just on fire. Let's start in Exodus chapter 3 and look at some things on fire. Exodus chapter 3, some people don't know anything about this story unless you've seen the old version of the Ten Commandments, and people, you know, some kids never even seen that. But there's a story in here where Moses goes up on the mountain and God appears to him, and it's described here in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. It is possible to be on fire, but not be consumed. Okay, so remember that at the end. So this bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. How is that possible? Only God can do that. So he can set you on fire, and yet your life is not destroyed by that fire. There's a purpose for it. Okay? So on fire is not bad. Daniel chapter 3, another great story. Go to the right. These guys are told to fall down and worship. If you don't, we'll throw you in this fiery furnace. They heat it up. Tremendous heat, and they would not worship, so they get thrown in this fire. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, the king looks in the fire and he said, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. So they were thrown in the fire. The intent was to kill them, and they're multiplying in the fire. So there's three. Well, who's in there with them? Jesus in there with them. And so it is possible to be in the fire, but not on fire, okay? So they're in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods, so brighter than even this cranked up fire. Matthew 25. Now, I'm going to read you this, and we're going to come back to it again in a minute. But in sequence, I'm reading you this. Now, these are the verses that nobody wants to talk about. But you must read these, and you must think about these, and you must warn people about this. And people say, well, I don't think this is going to happen. We shouldn't, you know, it scares people, whatever. Look what he says. And he's gone through a deal here about people who are on the right hand, the left, the sheep, the goats, divides them all out. He says, then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So you say, well, that's not real. I am going to have to give an account one day for not warning you, because the culture says, talk about Jesus, talk about love, talk about grace and mercy and forgiveness and all these things. But why do you need all that? Because there's an alternative. You say, well, heaven, everybody's going to heaven. I did a men's retreat recently. Was sitting, a group of men in a circle, and one guy nobody knew had been invited by the guy hosting the place at his ranch. And the kid's sitting there, and in front of the whole group, I looked at him, and it's just that moment where the Holy Spirit says, go. So I looked at him, I said, if you died sitting there in that chair, what would happen to you? And he began with, well, I kind of, you know, I've been a good guy, and, you know, it went that way. So I listened, and it was about him and being good and all these things. And I said, look, has anybody ever explained to you that it's a gift? That Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and raised from the dead to purchase a gift for you. And all you can say is thank you and take it, or no thank you. And if you say yes, it's heaven forever, life here with him. And if you say no, there's consequence. And sitting in front of that whole group of men, I said, would you like to do that? And he said, I really would. And prayed out loud in front of about 25 guys and became a Christian. Now you say, well, what if he had said no? He will burn forever. What if you were set on fire, but you could never die? You say, well, God wouldn't do that to anybody. What did it just say? What did I just read you? Who is it prepared for? Into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Why would you want to join the devil and his angels? Who gets to go there? People say to me all the time, I don't think a loving God would send anybody to hell. Then don't end up in hell. Well, I don't need God. Then it's hell. So you witness to people and you tell them about all this good stuff. It's also important to tell them, look, if you don't figure this out, this is how this ends up. This is where you end up. You say, but that might scare someone. That might be okay. What do we tell our kids? Don't run in the street. Why do we tell them not to run in the street? Because what? You might get hit. She knows the answer. Oh, we don't talk about the negative stuff. The street's just not a good place. No, you can die in the street. Don't go in the street. Look both ways. Be careful. Why? Because there's consequence. You say, well, I'm still not comfortable with talking about this. It's okay. He is. And if you explain this to people, look, there is a heaven. There is a hell. And by the way, if you talk about heaven and act like there's no hell, then what does that even mean? We're all going to end up in heaven. No, we're not. Then where are the people that don't end up in heaven going to end up? They're going to end up in hell. You say, I don't believe that. You will. But then you're on fire forever and there's nothing you can do about it. And I would rather make you a little uncomfortable here than have you curse me on fire forever because no one bothered to warn you. Now, if you let that sink in just a minute and process it, you say, well, that's a little scary thought. It should be a scary thought. It's your eternity. You say, well, I didn't want to think about that. It's okay. You're going to be okay. Think about it. Because if it's true, and it is, and you die, and you're separated from God in eternal fire forever, that's not going to be a good thing. You say, well, how long is it? It's not about how long. Eternity, you just are. You just is. Forever and ever and ever. On a positive note, Luke chapter 24. Jesus has died, been buried, raised from the dead. And by the way, why would he go through all of that if there wasn't something worth saving us from? That's what it took. Luke 24, Jesus has been buried, died, buried, raised from the dead. He joins a couple of guys walking from Jerusalem to a city nearby called Emmaus. And on the road to Emmaus, he talks to them, but he doesn't reveal who he is. That somehow they don't see, they don't get it that it's Jesus. Walks with them down that path. At the end of the trip, they say, stay with us. And at dinner, at lunch, whatever, he eats the food, folds his napkin. They go, boom, it's him. And he disappears. And then this is their commentary about their experience with this man. They didn't know it was Jesus. In verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And the word there means to set on fire. So let me tell you what will happen to you if you spend some time with Jesus. He will set your heart on fire. You say, well, what does that look like? Now listen close. Think about the sin that you are on fire for, and then flip that and say, I'm going to be that way about Jesus. You're eaten up. Literally, we use words like consumed. People get consumed with their sin. They can't walk away from it. They think about nothing else but that. They will give their lives to it. They'll give their families. I know a girl right now, a young woman that I've known since she was born, and she is chasing hard. She has abandoned her husband, her children, everything for her sin. Everything. Now, what I know is that she's a believer. And if God can turn her heart around, and instead of being on fire for sin, she gets on fire for him, then there'd be no stopping this woman. And that's why I pray for her. And we'll be ready when she comes back to be a part of the party to say, okay, let's help her turn this around. See, people say, well, I don't know what this means to be on fire for God. Yeah, you do. You're on fire for something else. And I throw these things out, and I know I'm leaving things out. Some people, their whole mouth, everything about them is about alcohol. They just, their mouth, I can just say the word, and they're thinking about where it's stashed, or they're going to stop somewhere and grab something. It's not a beer, it's a case of beer. Other people, it's their weed. God, man, I'm thinking about, man, I'm going to get home and get me a Great Barrier Reefer and go at it, man, you know. Those are from Australia, if you didn't know. And you think, well, that's not true. I promise you, if I said show of hands, weed, hands go up. Show of hands, alcohol, hands go up. Show of hands, sex, that's your deal, hands go up. And their whole life is chasing that. And some of you look at me like, dude, what are you talking about? That's not my life. Good for you. Welcome to the planet. Because the people that live on this planet and don't follow Christ, are not even Christians, are consumed with something. They're going to make money. They're going to be rich. And their whole life is consumed with that. And you say, how's your relationship with Christ? Oh, man, I am so busy. I'm thinking when I retire, I'm really going to get into that. I'm trying to set it up where I have more time for Jesus after I've made it. You'll never make it without Jesus, even if you make it. Now imagine all that passion, all that drive, all that consumption and being consumed with your sin, and all of a sudden you spend time with Jesus, and then out of that time, your heart literally is set on fire for him. Like, I knew that was him. He's here. One of the coolest things about a gathering like this for me is I come in a room like this and we all get in here and I see that I'm here and I see that you're here, and then I realize we are not alone. And there is a presence unseen that is more real than all of us put together. Now, he's required to be here because we're here as believers. He guaranteed he'd be here. But I'm not talking about just having to be somewhere. I'm talking about being able to walk through a room and know that he is in control. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've read this one before. You say, well, is this about hell? No. This is about here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on his foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So you say, okay, I'm going to build a house. God says, build your house. I'm the foundation. What does he say? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. What are you building with? You say, I built my house. This is what I built with. And he set your house on fire at the end. He tests your house. And what is revealed by the fire, it will test what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. And people say, well, is it once saved, always saved? Yes, but it doesn't say you won't suffer loss. You'll make heaven, but what if in the house, when he sets your house on fire, and everything that you did that was worthless is consumed, and you're left with barely anything, and that's what your reward in heaven is based on? And in that moment, you go, what was I thinking? Why did I build on nothing? So what are you building that will last? What deposits have you made on the other side? What will survive this fire? And then he goes on in verse 16 and says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So then what does that mean? And again, I'm not trying to scare you, but you need to think of these things. If you defile where God lives, he has the right to take you out. You can't mess with this stuff. Well, why do you know only the good die young? No, sometimes the bad die young. Now, I'm not saying everyone who dies that it's tied to this, but this is written to Christians specifically. He's not messing around. Getting me in his family cost him his son, and he has a reason for me being on the planet, and I'm either about that, or I need my number pulled and get out of here because there's no hope for me finishing the task that he's put me here to do. You say, well, I don't believe any of that. I just would not jack with a holy God. There's too much of this. And if you go back early in the church in Acts, Ananias and Sapphira, I mean, these people drop dead one after the other. You say, well, that's not happening anymore. I do a lot of funerals along the way. And every once in a while, I wonder, you know, did they die of natural causes or supernatural causes? I want to be alive when he says something like this. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if you're going to say that you're alive, then it needs to be that burning, be on fire for being alive for Christ. Now, if I say those words and you just stare at me and nothing stirs in the stare, you're in trouble. And you need to think about that. You say, well, you're trying to make us feel bad. You already do. You didn't need my help. I'm trying to help you feel better by chasing after him, not the world, not their approval,
not what they're doing. What's he doing? What's he up to? And you let him get living in you and alive in you and stirring up who he's made you to be. There is nothing like that. And that fire, my grandfather, if you're Christians, you'll meet my grandfather. He died in his 70s, and I remember as a small child, fire coming out of his eyes. Now, he had not always been a nice man, but he was a pastor, and the closer he got to Jesus, the more his eyes squinted, and the brighter the fire that came out of that old man's eyes. He knew Jesus. He loved Jesus, and everyone that knew my grandfather knew that. What are you known for, being on fire for sin or for him? 2 Timothy chapter 1, just when you thought we were out of verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and it really talks about this thing I'm describing. Verse 6, this is Paul writing to Timothy. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And the word stir up here means to rekindle. You say, well, the fire's out. It's just ashes. A Christian fire never goes out. It looks dead, but if you will stir in the embers, there's always embers. Stir the embers. You say, well, I'm cold. I don't care anymore. I don't think about heaven. I don't think about Jesus. I don't read my Bible. I don't care if people go to heaven or hell. I don't care. Then something's wrong. So you climb in a closet and you say, Lord, we need to look at my fire. And then you start putting things on the fire that will burn for him, not for you. Feed the fire with his stuff, not your stuff. James chapter 3, and this one you're going to love. James chapter 3, and let's start with verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, this is not an aside, but let me just make an observation based on this scripture. If someone's mouth is out of control, there's a good chance their body is out of control. Because when you can control your mouth, your body is probably under control. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. You look at fires when they break out in our country. California gets hit a lot, other places. And when a fire goes, it can take out hundreds of thousands of acres, thousands of homes, kill people. They go. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So you're either speaking God's words or hell words. And what does it say about the tongue? It is untamable. Now, I happen to know someone who can tame the tongue, Jesus. But you got to have him living on the inside and giving him permission to control what you say and don't say, or it's never going to happen. Because in the flesh, as human beings, we take people apart. Every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father. So 1 minute, now think about this. 1 minute, we're all in here together. Oh, Lord, we praise you. Blah, 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 blah. Get in the car. That son of a man just ran me off the road. Like, what are you talking about? Same mouth within minutes. How is that even possible? With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. It can't come out of the same place. You say, but it does every day. That should be a problem. You should say, this does not make sense. This is not right. So God help me with my tongue. And the old thing, you know, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. It's amazing how quiet it gets. And this is one of the worst I ever hear. Well, I promise not to say anything, but we need to pray for sister so-and-so. You know, just don't tell anybody I told you, but this, 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 and this. you know, we don't say it a certain way in my house, so I'll just go with keep your mouth shut. You say, well, how do I know if I'm really concerned about somebody or not? You'll know, because the Holy Spirit will say, keep your mouth shut. Now see, you liked it when I was talking about sex, weed, alcohol, all that. Let's talk about that some more. This is everybody, everybody, me included, everybody. And you can destroy a person, literally destroy an entire life. Patrick and I have had conversations about this. Somewhere in his life, some woman accused him of something that didn't happen and would have destroyed him if his pastor hadn't stepped in and said that did not happen and protected him. Now, the problem is there's plenty of stuff we're saying that is true. Now, you say, well, you're a fine one to stand up there because you say all kind of crazy stuff and God is working on me. And I don't use words that I use gratuitously. I'm not just saying, I'll say something sensational. So if you're going to use words, you better make sure it's God telling you to use those words. And the only way that's going to happen is if he is living in you and through you and controlling your heart, your mind, and where he is the one saying no, yes, no, yes. 2 Peter chapter 3. And this is part of the reason why I highly recommend you read your Bible and that you read it by faith and say, you know what? It's in here. If it's in here, this is happening. Everything that the Bible prophesies happens. It's just the way it is. You say, I don't believe that. The statistical probability of prophecies coming true are ridiculous. It's impossible. And yet they come true. So if the things prophesied in the Old Testament have come to pass, many of them, the things in the New Testament foretold, you say, well, those aren't going to happen. What are you thinking? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and this is what will happen, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. What does that mean? The earth and everything on it and in it will be consumed. You say that can't happen. It can happen. It's right here. Every once in a while I read some, oh, there's a meteorite coming and it's within, you know, halfway from us to the moon and it's getting close. And what if it hit? God doesn't need a meteorite to take the earth out. He can drop fire from heaven. You say, well, I don't believe this is going to happen. When it happens, you will believe that it's happening and pray to God you're in heaven when it does. So the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, I'm not saying don't enjoy your time while you're here, but build a house on the other side. Put your deposits on the other side. I may not die with much, but I'm going to live forever with him. And he's building me a house. I've kind of made a request that Rebecca live really close to me, because we won't be married in heaven, but she's my best friend. So that'd be nice.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
How many of you ever had your house burn literally to the ground? Raise your hand. One. Anybody else? You know what's left when your house burns to the ground? Not really anything. Don't build down here. Don't give your life to this. Not your substance. Ask God if you're not a Christian. Say, God, I don't know what they're talking about, but I'm on fire for all the wrong things and they are destroying my life. I'd like a piece of this. I'd like to be on fire for you, for something that matters. And then you're not going around lighting fires that destroy people. You're lighting fires that bring people to life. And maybe you are a Christian and it's down to ashes and embers. And you would say, Lord, I need to stir this up. I need to feed this. I need to get back to what I know works. And you say, well, I can't stop what I'm doing. I happen to know a really good firefighter. And I don't care what your fire is, he can put it out.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, it's the best way to stay up to date with all the audio and video talks with Richard, post on the prayer wall, how you can join the team, and even a place where you can ask any questions you have to get straight biblical answers. Check it out, richardellis.com. Finally, we're grateful when you help us with the cost to bring you this program. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website, richardellis.com. That's 855-6-RICHARD, or richardellis.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.